A winter was a quiet season before I planted 1,000 apple trees. I sat by the fire, cooked soup, and read with a cat curled up against me. Now I stand on cold, windy hills and stare at bare branches, pondering my next cut. In summer, lush leaves hide tiny apples the size of marbles. The trees house whole families, juncos, hummingbirds, countless bees. In fall, the limbs bend down to the ground, heavy with ripe fruit. Winter strips all that away, leaving only structure and form, the very essence of every tree. I recognize my tree's silhouettes as I know an old friend by the way she walks or holds her head. Roxbury russet sprawls across the rows, limbs splayed like a sports fan settled in front of the playoffs. The French brandy apple, Parmar, betrays its sophisticated pedigree with slender limbs that bow into a perfect vase. Muscadet de Bernay is the orchard's sentinel, standing tall, thick, and upright, marching down the road like palace guards. At pruning time, I'll measure each limb's worth, its future. I'll edit the dead, the damaged, the unnecessary. I will create structure for fruit, avenues for light and air. I used to agonize over every cut. Apple trees grow slowly, and it takes years to correct a pruning error. Then an old orchard friend told me, "Make your cuts, walk away, and don't look back." On winter nights, I prune inside. I use this dark season to examine the detritus of my 55 years. Gone now for decades, my dad's life is in a box. I open his memory box and hold his old checkbooks, each expenditure carefully recorded by this child of the Depression. I unfold a creased drawing for a dock, sketched in his careful engineer's hand. His Peterson's Field Guide to Birds records his life list, with place names for each bird sighting, a bald eagle at Lake Martin, a barn owl in Lumberton. I remember his smell, the stubble on his cheek at night, his dark brown eyes that are mine now. Each year I learn again that love doesn't stop with death. Each year I hold what his hands held and decide to keep these talismans. I look back and decide not to prune. But I love my trees and hold close to my heart the thought that they will outlive me, producing sharp, sweet apples long after I'm gone. So I saw and cut and do battle like my Scottish ancestors on cold, windy hills. In March, my editing is done. I save a few limbs for the smoker and burn the pruning pile, now as big as the shed. For a few hours, smoke envelops the orchard, swirling around the open shapes, obscuring the fat buds, nearly bursting with life. Soon my mountain orchard will be fuzzy with spring's pale green, and the push of life will begin again. Winter's quiet will be over. I've made my cuts, and I'm not looking back.